Well, good evening. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn in them, please, to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 39 down to 45. Now, just before I do, I'll set a context for it, and I hope everybody has this little insert that I... If you don't, wave your hand. I appreciate... Hey, in the center here, we've missed a bunch of people. Thank you. Ainsley has been passing them out, and I appreciate that, Ainsley, and she will get them to you. Now, you know that Malachi is the last prophet of the Old Testament, and for 400 years, there was no more revelation. Now, not that God wasn't answering prayer, he was. Not that God wasn't being worshipped, he was. Not that God wasn't forgiving people and saving people, he was. But for 400 years, there was no more revelation, no more supernatural communication from God to man. And then, suddenly, things changed. And what changed was God sent the angel Gabriel from heaven down to the temple. And in Luke chapter 1, it tells us that Gabriel came to the temple to a priest who was engaged in the worship of God, burning the incense on the incense altar right there before the Holy of Holies, marking the prayers of God's people coming before him as a sweet smell. And the angel said, I've got good news for you, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard and are being answered. And you remember that he didn't remember praying that prayer even. It was a while ago. And he just did not believe that it was really going to be answered. He just didn't believe it. And the angel rebuked him pretty strongly for not believing when God had sent the angel with this good news. But because of that, something negative came into his life. He couldn't talk for the next 9 months. And then it says, 6 months later, this same angel came from God, this time not to Jerusalem, but to a little town in the north, in Nazareth. And there the angel spoke to a virgin named Mary. And the angel said to her, you are highly favored by God. And Mary was troubled by that greeting. You know, most of the angels that we picture are these sweet, cuddly kinds of things. But you find most people in the Bible, when they encounter an angel, are afraid. Angels are supernatural beings. They're all holy, and they're kind of scary. And so anyway, the angel said, don't worry, Mary. God has picked you, and he loves you, and he's got a plan. And the plan is you're going to have a child without a human father. Whoa, bigger miracle than what Zechariah didn't believe. Bigger miracle. But Mary believed it. She said, how is this going to be? The angel said, the Holy Spirit is going to do a miracle in you and cause you to have a child without any human father involved. And Mary surrendered to the will of God in her life. Now, friends, it's easy for us to read that, but that cost Mary a lot. Mary lived in a little town in the hills. I have lived in little towns in America. And in little towns, everybody thinks they know everybody else's business. And they talk about it. I really think it was that way in Nazareth. I think Mary, who's engaged but not yet married, getting pregnant, was something that caused a great deal of gossip in that little town and put Mary in a very bad situation. But Mary, maybe thinking about all of that, but certainly experiencing it in the end, said, I'm the Lord's servant. Whatever it is that's God's will, that's what I want. Now, the angel had given her a confirmation. Even her relative, Elizabeth, was with a miracle child and was in the sixth month. And that's where our reading starts. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Well, short little section, but there are three things that I want to highlight for you out of this section that have been a challenge and a blessing to me, and I am praying will be a challenge and a blessing to you as well this evening. Now, the first question, just again still as introduction, is why did Mary travel? Now, Mary's up here in Nazareth, and she finds out she's going to get pregnant. And we don't know exactly when the Holy Spirit came on her and she got pregnant. Maybe it was right after the angel talked to her. Maybe it was a day later. Don't know. But somewhere right in there. And then Mary packs up and goes. Now, Mary's going to walk 3 days south, so she's not going to carry a lot of stuff with her. All right, I've spent the last couple months throwing things out and stuffing stuff in the attic, and it's rather expensive to bring books here to Australia. I had a lot of books, and I'm used to having a lot of books, but I don't anymore. But Mary's going to walk 3 days down there. I think she's not going to travel light, okay? I don't know. But why did she go? My guess is she was wise enough to know that she needed to talk to somebody who could understand and encourage her in the challenging moment she was in. Now, the question that occurs to me is, why not her mother? The Roman Catholic Church says that her mother was St. Anne, who was a very godly woman. The Bible does not mention Mary's mother at all anywhere. We don't know what her mother's name was, but the Roman Catholic Church teaches that it was St. Anne, and you can pray to St. Anne, and St. Anne will get Mary on your side, and then she'll talk to Jesus and get him on your side. I've read that in official publications. I'm just here to say I don't know what her mother's name was. I don't know if her mother had died. I don't know if her mother was around. I don't know if her mother was legalistic and judgmental and unbelieving that Mary hadn't sinned. I do know that the man who loved her and was engaged to live with her didn't believe her. And he was going to break it all off and go through a quiet, private, but yet real divorce procedure to call the whole thing off. Maybe her mother is in that same frame of mind. I don't know. But Mary, for whatever reason, as soon as the angel finished, she packs up and walks 3 days south to find Elizabeth and talk to Elizabeth. Because Elizabeth, I think, is going to be a kindred spirit who has a miracle going on inside her and is going to sympathize and empathize and encourage, and they're going to together rejoice in what God is doing. He's on the move. He's working. And it's amazing. But most people in God's church at that time don't believe it, don't understand, don't get it. Well, okay. Now, what I want you to see first is that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb, this is a six-month-old fetus, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Elizabeth then talks, and when I read that, you noticed that Elizabeth knows things that she couldn't know simply from an earthly way. How could she know that Mary was blessed? How could she know Mary was pregnant? I mean, even if she took a day to pack her stuff and 3 days to walk down, the home pregnancy test is not going to show anything yet. It's still too early, okay? The baby Jesus, I think, is in her. I'm sure is in her. I know is in her. But he's very, very tiny, huh? There's no evidence yet. But Elizabeth knows she's pregnant. Elizabeth knows she's going to bear a child who's blessed. Look at verse 43. She knows that the child in Mary is her Lord. There's no way for her to know that except the Holy Spirit revealed that to her. That he is the Son of God, come to be the Son of Man to save Elizabeth and Mary and us from the consequences of our sin. Now, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. That's an awesome thing. Now, I looked in the Bible for filling with the Holy Spirit. And the first place I found someone being filled with the Holy Spirit was in the book of Exodus. Bezalel was filled with the Holy Spirit so that he could make beautiful artistic work in the worship of God. Isn't that interesting? The tabernacle was designed to be beautiful, to have great works of art in it, in the worship and praise of our God. And God filled, specifically says he filled Bezalel, twice he says that, to do that. And then in Luke chapter 1 verse 15, God had said John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit from, our English versions say from birth, the Greek is really from the womb, I take that from conception. From conception, John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And later in this chapter, Zechariah will be filled with the Holy Spirit and say the wonderful Benedictus, his great praise to Almighty God. You know, he had 9 months to think about what he'd say when he first could talk. Can you remember when the astronaut landed on the moon? In America, before he landed on the moon, all the newspapers were filled with contests. What will be the first thing that he says? You know, and people suggested this and they suggested that. I remember that Sunday night sitting by the radio and listening. Crackle, crackle, crackle. That's one small step for a man. Anybody remember that? First word said from the moon. Well, Zechariah had 9 months to think about the first thing he'd say. What was the first thing out of his mouth? I really been wanting broccoli all this time. No, that wasn't it. You know, that's not the first thing he said. The first thing he said was, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's on the move. And he's come to redeem his people. And he's going to use my child in getting things ready for the Redeemer. Marvelous. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He said that. Now, I don't know your deacons, but you know, your deacons are to be men filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible doesn't really tell us for sure the origin of the office of deacon. I think it's Acts 6. If it's not, I don't know when it originated, and I don't know what Acts 6 is talking about. But anyway, it says in Acts 6 they needed guys to take care of the widows. And they looked around. They didn't say, oh, you know, there's old Joe. He's never done anything. Let's make him a deacon. Maybe he'll do something. No, no. They said, let's find 7 men filled with wisdom and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's who we should elect as deacons to manage the mercy ministry in our congregation. And there's this wonderful word about Barnabas. I just love this. Wouldn't you love to have people say this about you? The Bible says Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And so as a result of his life and ministry, a great number of people were brought to the Lord. But I've got one more verse, and it's kind of a zinger. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, 2 things from that verse. One is, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Well, the contrast in the verse is being under the influence of alcohol. He says, don't get drunk. You know that the Bible never condemns drinking alcohol. What it does in both the Old Testament and the New says if you drink to the point where you're drunk, you have sinned. Christians are not to get drunk. Well, that's where you have lost control of yourself and the alcohol is dominating you. I had a time where in the morning I got a phone call. A young man who was on the edges of our church had been arrested and was in the jail. So I got in my car and I drove down to the jail and I worked through the process and got in to see him. He said to me, they say I was beating down the door on this woman's house and trying to get to her. I don't remember that at all. I don't deny that that happened. I just don't know what happened. I had been drinking in the bar, and I don't remember anything. But he was arrested, trying to break into this woman's house, communicating not very positive purposes. The Bible says, don't get drunk. But it does say, do be filled with the Holy Spirit. Being drunk is where you have lost control, and alcohol is in control of your actions and your words. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is where you have surrendered control, where you have yielded yourself entirely, body, soul, spirit, to God, and where the Holy Spirit is dominating you, filling you with His peace and His joy, where you are experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in dramatic, glorious ways. That is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the first thing. The second thing is, this is an imperative. Don't get drunk. Do be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a command in the New Testament. Be filled. Now, that's the only place it is. But how many times does God have to say something, huh? Here it is. Be filled. That's a command. I have, in the things that I'm in the process of throwing out, a cassette tape. Remember cassette tapes? I have a cassette tape of a sermon by the man who baptized me when I was an infant. And the sermon title alone is utterly convicting. The sermon title is The Sin of Not Being Filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm sort of glad it's in a cassette so I can't listen to it and really be convicted by it, okay? Whoa, it's a command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, now what does that mean? Well, I hope you've got this little paper, and I hope you've got a writing instrument of some kind. Now, right in the middle there, you'll see a bunch of blanks. And it says, all Christians. Now, I want you to take a minute and fill in those blanks for me. See where it says, all Christians? All Christians have been what? By the Holy Spirit. All Christians have been what? By the Holy Spirit. All Christians are being what? By the Holy Spirit. All Christians are what? By the Holy Spirit. And the fifth one. Can you fill those in real quick? I have a gold star of David for anybody who gets all five of them correct, huh? Okay, who can get all five of them? Those five, if you're a Christian, these five glorious truths are true of you. Now, if you're not a Christian, none of these things are true of you. They can be true of you if you, by God's grace, will repent of your sin and bow before Jesus and accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. These five things will be true of you. But if you're not a Christian, they are not true. But if you are saved, these things are true of you. Okay, well, what are they? What are these things? Well, the very first one is all Christians have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Regenerate means to make alive. The Bible says unsaved people are dead in transgressions and sins. They don't have the capacity to repent and believe. They don't have the ability to understand the gospel until the Holy Spirit makes them alive. When he makes them alive, he gives them the faith and the grace, and they do repent and do believe in the Lord Jesus. All Christians have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. You may find some well-meaning brothers and sisters who say to you, you need to be baptized by the Holy Spirit after you've been saved. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, all of us who are believers have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, all of us are being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that marvelous? The third person of the Trinity lives in me, in my body. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in me. He lives in us collectively, but he lives in each individual Christian's body. Wherever I go, the Holy Spirit goes with me. He lives in me. That is a fact. The fourth one is, all Christians are sealed by the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer in Jesus, God has put the Holy Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit in you is a seal, a mark of God's ownership. You have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and you belong to the Lord. God has put his hand on you, and he will never take it off. You will go to heaven, not because you deserve it, not because you've held on, but because God has taken hold of you, and he loves you and wants your best through all eternity. And then fifthly, all Christians are being sanctified, made holy, changed from the inside out to be holy. Now, those five things are true of all Christians. Friends, I am still in the middle of my sanctification. I have a long way to go. But God has made a big difference already, and he's committed to making a complete difference in my life. When I die, he will fully sanctify me. But I'm in the midst of that. The Holy Spirit is doing that. Those five things are true. But, friends, the filling of the Holy Spirit comes and goes. That is not a constant. That is something that Christians experience and then that Christians need to experience again. These five things are facts. The filling comes and goes. If you study the book of Acts, you'll find the Christians were filled with the Spirit when? When they surrendered. They're facing persecution and they say, Lord, we'd rather not face the wild animals, but we're willing to. Whatever it is that you want, that's what we want. And they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They have a joy. They have an excitement about the Lord. They are giving the gospel out and people get saved. But then we find some of those same people, it happens again a couple chapters later. The filling comes and the filling goes. But when it comes, it is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, friends, I need to ask, are you being filled with the Holy Spirit? If you're a Christian, you've been regenerated, you've been baptized, you've been sealed, you are being indwelt, you are in the process of being sanctified. But are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, do you have joy in Jesus? Do you have peace in Jesus? Are you keeping in step with God's Holy Spirit? Those are tests of whether you're filled with the Holy Spirit or not. Friends, here's two negative things the Bible gives quite clearly. You are not filled with the Holy Spirit if you're making the Holy Spirit sad. How do we make him sad? Well, we make him sad by sinning. We make him sad when we countenance evil in our minds and hearts. We make him sad when we ignore him. That makes him sad. Don't make him sad. If you make him sad, he's not filling you. Okay? You're not experiencing that. You are saved. You have been regenerated. You are sealed. You're being sanctified. But you're not filled. Not today. Not right now. Don't make him sad. And the second way is fighting against him. Do you know the Holy Spirit is inside you and me trying to build a fire of love and devotion to Almighty God? A fire of love for that which is good and right, and a hatred of the evil that we find in our own hearts and lives. But what do lots of people do? Well, they take cups of cold water and pour it on the fire. The Holy Spirit's trying to, picture the Holy Spirit's in rubbing two sticks inside your heart, trying to get a spark and a fire going, huh? And there you are throwing water on it. Okay, how do we do that? We do that when we ignore the Bible, when we're not praying, when we're not really fellowshipping with other believers. We do that when we're stiff-arming the Holy Spirit, when we are filling our hearts and minds with stuff that offends Him. You're not filled. If that's what's going on in your life, I have to ask, will you repent and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you? He will do that. He's eager to do that. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let His peace and joy and love of goodness and of God flood your heart and mind. Don't try to maintain control of your life. You will just make a mess of it. You can't control it anyway. You're just fooling yourself. Only God can make something beautiful out of a mess like me and a mess like you, huh? Is that right? Yeah, here's where you say amen, right? Okay, yeah, that's right. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And God revealed to her stuff she couldn't know otherwise. I don't expect Him to reveal stuff to us, but I expect Him to illumine our understanding of God's Word. I expect Him to guide us in understanding the richness of His truth and His love. I expect Him to really produce in us the fruit of the Spirit in abundant harvest for His glory and for good to people around us. I expect Him to give us success in using our spiritual gifts in the context of the body for the good of the whole body and the glory of our God. Yes, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, now, secondly, briefly, I just want to say this. The Holy Spirit was active in these two unborn babies. The Holy Spirit was active in these two unborn babies. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 45, as soon, Elizabeth says, as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Now, I don't have any experience here, okay? I know that some pregnant women can feel their baby kicking. I've not ever experienced that, but I know that happens, okay? I don't know if any of you've ever felt the baby leaping, huh? Isn't that an interesting thing? This six-month-old baby leaped in her womb, and she knew it. And she knew that he leaped not because she'd eaten a pepperoni pizza the night before, not because he was startled and scared by Mary coming into the house, but for joy. What is a leap for joy of a little baby? I don't know, but it's amazing. Why did John the Baptist leap for joy in the womb? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us, but it seems to me the Bible does tell us that John was filled with the Holy Spirit from the moment of conception. Jesus, who's probably a week old in Mary's womb, Jesus is the Christ, the one who has the Holy Spirit without limits. Now, the Holy Spirit then in Jesus and the Holy Spirit in John, when Jesus comes into the room in the body of the Virgin Mary, there is such joy in the Holy Spirit who is filling these two babies that John leaps for joy. Isn't that a marvelous picture? Now, I don't know how it is in Australia. I'm a new guy here. But in America, it's open season on babies that are inconvenient or handicapped. It's just really tragic. If you have a child that even might have a handicap, The doctor feels insurance-driven to urge you to kill that baby and get rid of it. And they do it all the time. It's horrendous. What horrible, horrible pattern of death we have in our society. Now, in America, we make this big distinction between a baby in the womb and a baby that's born. We call the baby in the womb the fetus. We use the scientific terminology to make it impersonal, I think. And then we talk about a baby after it's been born. But in the Greek, there's one word that is used for the baby in the womb and the newborn baby. The same Greek word is used for Jesus as the baby in Mary's womb, as is used for Jesus as a baby who's 40 days old being presented in the temple in Jerusalem. Same Greek word. The Greeks know a little bit more than we do, I think. This is a human being who can be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not a part of the mother. This is not just a fingernail that you can cut off and dispose of. This is a person who's going to live forever in heaven or in hell. And so I want to say, I just note that in passing. Hey, the Holy Spirit was active. I want to say all children from conception onwards should be loved, protected, and have the Bible read to them. Loved, protected, and have the Bible read to them. Now you say, where's that last piece? It's in 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:15, Timothy, I'm so glad that you had a godly mother and a godly grandmother. And how from infancy, that's the same word, that's used for a baby that's not yet born and used for a brand new born baby. From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to bring you to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Timothy's mother and his grandmother read the Bible to him before he was born, and even after he was born, before he could understand what it meant. Now, I can't prove to you that reading the Bible to your unborn baby will help that baby. I know it'll help you, okay, Mommy? I know it'll help you. But I think it'll help your baby, too. I think it's a great thing for pregnant women to do. Read the Bible to their baby. Get in the habit of reading the Bible to your children from the very first time you get pregnant. Because this is a child made in the image of God who will live forever in heaven or in hell. Thirdly, I want to say this. Those who believe God are blessed. Those who believe God are blessed. Look at verse 45. Elizabeth says, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Blessed is she who believed. Now the Holy Spirit revealed to Elizabeth that Mary, unlike Elizabeth's husband Zechariah, had believed this incredible news from the angel. I mean, it really is astounding what the angel had said and what God really did in this situation. I mean, I don't throw any stones at Zechariah, and I wouldn't throw stones at Mary if she hadn't believed. There are lots of churchmen around the world who don't believe it today, you know. They just don't believe it. But the Bible teaches it. It really did happen. And Elizabeth says, blessed is she who believed. Now, if Elizabeth was filled with the flesh, I might interpret that she was giving a backhand rebuke to her husband who didn't believe. But since she was filled with the Spirit when she said these words, I don't think that's what she was thinking. I think she was simply praising Mary, that Mary was a woman of great faith, and saying, listen, if you take God at His word, God will bless you and do wonderful things. You remember that Zechariah had not believed. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man. My wife is well along in years. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. You're going to be silent, not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the appointed time. Yes, we've seen that. Zechariah, for 9 months, couldn't talk. 9 months. That's a way of having it driven home. You should have believed God's word, huh? Yeah. Not only that, but the priest didn't go into the temple to burn the incense every day. I mean, a priest went every day, but not the same priest. That was a highlight of his ministry. And when he'd finished doing that, he would come out and all the assembled worshipers would be waiting for him to pronounce the Aaronic benediction on them. It was a high point of his ministry. But when Zechariah came out, not having practiced faith, he couldn't say anything. And he made signs to them that he'd seen an angel. I'm not quite sure what those signs look like. We might need a translator in South Africa to explain that one to us. I don't know. But anyway, he made signs, but he couldn't do what was a high point of his ministry. There is loss when you and I don't believe. God does his work regardless. But there is lost us. Think of the Christmas story a minute. Zechariah, we've talked about. How about the shepherds? You know, the shepherds are out in the fields at night watching over their flock, and the angel of the Lord appears to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And the angel said, I have great good news for you and all the people. Today a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. Suddenly the heavens were filled with a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And then the angels disappeared. And the shepherds looked at each other and said, well, I never saw an angel before. That was interesting. You know, I can't really believe that God would do something dramatic in Bethlehem. I don't either. Hey, you know, pass me another stick for the fire. Suppose they hadn't gone in search of the baby. Suppose they hadn't found the child and told people about him because they didn't believe it. Or the wise men, they see the star in the east. Whoa! Somehow, supernaturally, God indicates that the Messiah of the Jews has been born, the King of the Jews. But instead of them immediately traveling, we don't know for how long, months across to get to Jerusalem to find the one born King of the Jews and worship him. Oh, they said to each other, that's interesting, you know. Maybe I can get a letter to my cousin in Jerusalem and see about this thing. Who knows? But, you know, my credit card's pretty full. I don't think I'm in for a journey right now. I think I'll stay here. Whoa! If the wise men hadn't believed and acted, it'd be quite different, huh? Or what about Joseph? You remember that when the wise men went to Herod, Herod said, you go find him and worship him, then come tell me, and I'll go worship him. But Herod meant to kill him. The Lord warned the wise men, and they went a different way. And then, the next night, Joseph is sleeping. And an angel appears to him in a dream and says, Joseph, get up now, take your wife and the baby, and go to Egypt, because Herod's going to try to kill the baby. Joseph woke up. Boy, I kind of feel like I had a strange dream there. Wonder what that was about. If I wake up my wife, you know, we've not been married that long. It's only been 3 months we've been married. We've been through quite a bit. If I wake her up and tell her we've got to pick up and go to Egypt in the middle of the night, do you think she'll go with me or not? I don't think I'll... You know, maybe 2 or 3 months from now we'll go down to Egypt. Humanly speaking, huh? God would never let that happen. As Mordecai said, if you don't step up to the plate, God will raise up somebody else. God's will be done. But can you imagine how if Joseph hadn't believed? Now here's the question, friends. What about you? What about me? I wonder how many times we have read something from God and said, that's interesting, I ought to study that some more. But I enjoy worrying. I'm going to keep on worrying. I enjoy being fearful. I'm going to just kind of enjoy the fear. I've been doing this for a bunch of decades. I might as well keep on. We read something and it says we really ought to have a different attitude toward so-and-so who really hurt us badly. Really super people. You know, the pastors and the elders can do that. But no, I'm just an average Joe Christian. You can't expect me to forgive him. I wonder how many losses are in your life and in mine because we have not practiced faith. We don't take God at His word and act on it. I wonder. Elizabeth says, blessed. Blessed are you who believed what God said, even though it cost you, even though it seemed incredible, you believed and you are blessed. Dear friends, God wants to fill every one of us with His Holy Spirit. Now, if you're not a Christian, the first thing is you've got to get saved. You've got to bow before the Lord and tell the truth. I'm a sinner. I have broken your law. I deserve eternal punishment. Please forgive me. I accept Jesus Christ as who He is, the Son of God, the only Savior, who died on the cross and rose again for me. By God's grace, you'll have the joy of the Lord. Then the Spirit will take up residence in your life, and He will from time to time fill you. And you'll have peace and joy and power in your life that you normally don't have, even as a believer. Little children, even unborn babies, even handicapped or inconvenient babies, should be loved and cared for. And God calls us to be people of faith, people who really believe His word and act upon it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we love You. How thankful we are that You love us. Forgive us for our sin. Our sin of not being filled with Your Holy Spirit and loving You and trusting You as we ought. Oh God, thank You that it is true that if we're believers, we are regenerated, baptized, indwelt, sealed, and being sanctified. But Father, You have more to give to us, more of Your presence, of Your blessing, of Your peace and joy and power. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Give us a surrendered spirit. Help us to be people who consistently take You at Your word and practice trusting You every single day. Magnify Your name in our hearts and lives. For we pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.